Like to invite you tonight over to the book of Philippians, chapter 4, verse 8. Philippians, chapter 4, verse 8.
Philippians, chapter 4, verse 8 reads this way. It says, "Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, and if there be any praise, think on these things." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we do come before your throne this evening, thanking you again for the privilege of gathering together as your people, and in Lord calling upon you to bless us with the guidance of your Holy Spirit, the filling of your Spirit, that we might worship you in spirit and in truth. And Lord, we thank you that that is your will, and Lord, we know that you hear us and that you give us those things that we stand in need of. So bless tonight. Open up our hearts and minds to hear from you, and Lord, that you might be highly exalted in our lives, and that you would strengthen the faith, mercy, and grace that you've given to us, that we might be a testimony to a lost and dying world that needs the same salvation that you've given to us. And we'll give you all the praise, for we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. The title of the message tonight is Think on These Things, or we would say today, Things to Think About. Things to think about that God wants us to focus on. So three important truths that we'll consider tonight, many, many more truths in this portion of Scripture, but three things that we'll think about tonight: stand fast in the Lord. The second one is the Lord is at hand. And the last one is godly contentment. Three thoughts tonight, three truths really, as we consider our text: stand fast in the Lord, the Lord is at hand, and godly contentment. Three important truths that I believe draw our hearts as we look at this closer to the Lord and in fellowship with him and in a way that he can use us for his honor and glory. So what does it mean? We'll consider the first one. What does it mean to stand fast in the Lord? Well, let's back up to verse 1 right here. Notice who he's talking to. He says, "Therefore, my brethren." So these are believers in the Lord Jesus Christ. This is really important. This message cannot be given to a lost and dying world, but they are given to the brethren, to the family of God. When you see the word brethren there, be reminded that we're talking about the children of God, right? Male and female, and they're all those that put their faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ are known by the Lord, and we are brothers and sisters in Christ. And so he says, "Therefore, my brethren," and notice this, "dearly beloved." That's important. Dearly beloved. So we are in the family of God, but we're not just in the family of God. We are in the family of God that are dearly beloved. These things are important that we understand how God looks at us, because the devil would say, "Oh, the Lord doesn't love you. You know, you have messed up one too many times." Isn't that the devil? The flesh might even tell you that. But in the eyes of God, we are dearly beloved. As a saved child of God, can you ever be taken out of the hand of God? It can never happen. Isn't that amazing? Like that, you knew the answer. Where did that come from? That comes from the Lord. That confidence comes from God. We know that we can't be taken out of the hand of God. And yet, listen, we can go through some trials and difficulties, and sometimes we can feel like this: "Lord, where are you? Lord, where are you?" But wait, the truth is, we're in his hands, aren't we? And we will all, sometimes we don't feel that way. And here's the beautiful truth: God knows that. And so in knowing that, he tells us, "Hey, listen, you are my brethren, and you are dearly beloved," so that we can be reminded how God feels about us. And then notice this: "and longed for." Isn't that something? You ever long for somebody? Can't wait to see them. Maybe they've been gone for a while, and you haven't seen them in a while, and you're getting reunited, and you're looking forward to, you're anticipating, you're excited. The Lord says that about us, that you and I are longed for. Wow. See, we get a little glimpse and a little understanding of what it means that God loves us, don't we? He longs for us. Wow, that's amazing. He says, "my joy and crown. So stand fast in the Lord, my dearly beloved." Once again, he wants us to know that we are dearly beloved. He said it twice, right? So we heard it the first time. So God wants us to know how he feels about us. And so that's what it means to stand fast in the Lord. See, a lot of times we think of standing fast in the Lord as something that we've got to put a great effort to. No, God says stand fast in the Lord, knowing that we are dearly beloved by God. Well, my goodness, that's pretty easy to do when you stop and think about it. I can just, in other words, when you stand fast, that means you're unmovable. Don't be movable in the truth that God says you are dearly beloved. Powerful. And listen, that puts us on the winning side. You mean to tell me we are the dearly beloved of the Lord? Well, God's telling us that, isn't he? He says, we are dearly beloved. Can you stand fast in the Lord in that truth? Amen. And by the way, but listen, God is telling us to stand fast in the Lord in that truth because the devil can fool us. Situations, trials, and circumstances can get us to questioning, Lord, where are you? We are still the dearly beloved of the Lord. And so stand fast in that truth. And by the way, faith is required when we don't have the understanding, right? Faith is required. In other words, God doesn't change. Even though our circumstances and our situations may change, we are always dearly beloved in the Lord, even and especially more so when we don't feel that way, right? Sometimes our feelings can contradict the truth of God's word, and the devil would love to use that to discourage us and to dissuade us from the truth and the faith that honors the Lord and brings a blessing into our life. God wants us to seek him because that's where our joy comes from. That's where his love comes. When we're in the business of seeking him, we are in the business of seeking a close relationship with him. That's a good thing to do, right? When you love somebody, you don't want to be at a distance. If you love somebody, you want to be near them and you want to cultivate a good relationship with those that you love. And so you want to unite as often as possible. So he says, stand fast in this truth. Then also, he says in verse 2, be of the same mind in the Lord. So verse 2 says, I beseech Eutychus and I beseech Syntyche that you be of the same mind in the Lord. Lord, I want to have the same mind that you have. I want to think and see things as you see them. I don't want to be misled by my thinking. I definitely don't want to be misled by the world's thinking. And stop and think about this. The world has this philosophy. Well, you know, you've got to consider all sides. Have you ever heard that before? You got to consider all sides. Not when I know. Listen, if you knew somebody didn't like one of your loved ones. In fact, if you knew somebody hated one of your loved ones and they said, I've got something to say about your loved one, I want you to read. Would you read it? You know they hate your loved one. Do you think it's going to be true? Do you think it's going to be something you want to read? Even more importantly, listen. The world, we don't need to read anything that is against the word of God. We don't need to read it. We know the world hates God. I don't need to know their side to understand the word of God. I don't need, when it comes to the word of God, that is all I need. I don't need to hear what the world, well, how do you know unless you try it? Well, let me ask you a question. Do I need to put my head underneath an 18-wheeler's tire and have him run to see if I like it? I mean, what kind of philosophy? How do you know unless you try it? Would you want to try something like that? You know it would bring death, right? So why would I? And by the way, listen, anything that is contrary or against or aside of the word of God when it comes to God is unnecessary. It would just simply mislead us away. And so we don't have to look at everything. We just need to look at the word of God when it comes to our relationship with the Lord. Now, that doesn't mean that it's wrong to study other things. But when it comes to God, all we need is his word. Anything and everything outside of his word is what? It's a lie. It can't be the truth. Because the Bible says that the word of God is the truth. So anything outside of that is unnecessary concerning our relationship with the Lord. So be of the same mind in the Lord. Some people say, well, how do you know that another religion isn't better than yours? Which one tells me I did it for you? Which one tells me because I loved you, I gave you my son? Which one? Which, tell me what other religion out there offers me a better offering of eternal life? There isn't a one. There is not a one. The truth is the one that says, I loved you so much, I did it for you because I know and knew you couldn't do it. He knew, God knew, that we would never be righteous enough to enter into his righteousness. So you know what he says? I'll give you mine. Wow. Tell me what other religion. It amazes me when people trade supposedly the truth for something that's a lie. You hear people, I've heard people say, oh, I've been a Baptist and believed in salvation by grace, but now I'm going over here. I'm like, what in the world did you sell out for? Why would you make a mistake like that? And so he says, be of the same mind of the Lord. And then notice what he says here in verse 3, and I entreat thee also, true yoke fellow. We are laborers together. Amen. We're working together to, listen, our work is to labor for the Lord Jesus Christ. It's a work. It involves us opening up the Word of God. And sometimes physically we could be tired, mentally, emotionally we could be tired. But we will never go wrong in opening up the Word of God and allowing the Word of God to speak to us. In fact, that would be the best time when we're really down low. Lord, I need you. Open up the Word of God and watch what God will do. And so he says, I entreat thee also, true yoke fellow, help those women which labored with me in the gospel, with Clement also, with other my fellow laborers, listen to this, whose names are written in the book of life. Isn't that good? God says, think about these things. Our names are written in the book of life. Fellow believers' names are written in the book of life. What a wonderful truth to meditate on and to think about. And by the way, he calls us all true yoke fellows. We're true laborers for the Lord Jesus Christ, propagating the truth. And then he says, as we meditate on these things, he says, verse 4, rejoice in the Lord sometimes. Rejoice in the Lord when the wind is blowing in the right direction. Rejoice in the Lord when the sun is shining. We can rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. Why? Why is that? Well, because we're a fellow yoke fellow. Our names are written in the book of life. We're dearly beloved. We're the Lord's crown and joy and glory. And I know Paul's talking to the Philippians, but God, the thoughts of God toward his people are innumerable. Can't be numbered. Psalms 40 tells us that. That his thoughts toward you and I can't be numbered. And that's a beautiful thought. So stand fast in the Lord and these wonderful truths that God has given to us. Secondly, the Lord is at hand. Do we believe that? That means the Lord's return is at hand. It could happen at any time. There's nothing really else that needs to take place for the Lord to come back. As far as I see it, when Israel became a nation, he's ready to come back. He's ready to come back anytime. In fact, even Paul in his day lived, hey, listen, the Lord's at hand. Be ready for the Lord's return. So verse 5, notice what it says. It says, let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. So look at the way that we live. Be ready to meet the Lord. And he begins to list off some things. Be careful for nothing. Notice, but in everything by prayer and supplication. Now, What is prayer? We know that that's asking God, but what is supplication? Sometimes we would think, well, that's also asking the Lord, but it's a little bit more specific. The Greek word is deesis, which means a need or a want. So prayer is important. That's our communication with the Lord. That's asking God for things, but asking God specifically for things that we need and things that we want, right? But that's specifically talking about, well, what do we want? He's not talking about monetary things. He's talking about a closer walk with the Lord. Don't you want that? Amen? How about this? How about, Lord, that you would make my words ring true for your honor and glory when I share the gospel with a loved one, with a friend, or somebody that just needs to know you as Savior? I was reading after a fella, and he was talking about witnessing to somebody, and he says, well, I just don't believe in the Word of God. And he said, I kept using the Word of God to him and sharing with him the love of God that he has for the lost. And also, listen, then he told him the first commandment that Jesus spoke about was to love the Lord with all of our heart, with all of our mind, and all of our soul. And basically everything hung on that. And then he said he had the fellow read it. He said, so do you believe that's the first commandment? He said, of course, the Lord just said it was, right? But he said this, let me ask you a question. What do you think, if that's the best commandment, what would be the breaking of that commandment? And he said, not loving the Lord with all of your heart, with all of your mind, and all of your soul. And he said, because he was saying, I'm not that bad of a person. He said, are you guilty of that? He said, this fellow said, the next moment he was on his knees praying and asking the Lord to save him. Because he used the Word of God. And God was working with him. Listen, you should go back and read preachers that were being used mightily in the hand of God in the 1700s and see what God was doing and what God wants to do with his people. Because he's not changed. And if something is changed, I dare say it's not God. Would you agree? So it must be us. We must be thinking differently. And so, listen, I don't want people telling me, well, you need to do this and you need to do this. We need the Lord. Amen? We need God for everything, for our own selves and for his honor and glory. And so, he says, I want you to know something. The Lord is at hand, and we can pray, we can ask him for things, and then we can make our supplications, and we can tell him what we need and what we want. And I pray that what we think we need and what we think we want is for him to be honored and glorified. For souls to be, Lord, I want souls to be saved. Amen? Lord, I genuinely want souls to be saved. We just need to ask. I believe everybody in this room wants people to be saved. But here's the question. If we really want it, who's the one that grants it? We have to ask him. Lord, I want souls. Use me, Lord, to and so here it is. Listen, this is the scary thought. And I want you to know, if you're afraid to witness to somebody, you are not alone. The initiating of it, the starting of it is awkward. Is awkward, is it not? If you've ever tried it with a stranger, to how do I swing this to tell them about the Lord Jesus Christ? You know, and you're trying to find the in where you come in to share the truth. But let me ask you this question. What if you knew before you got started that if you shared the gospel message, that person would get saved? What if you knew before you got started? Would you be a little more inclined to do it? Of course. Of course. Lord, I want you to use me. And then here's what I believe will happen. God will really lay it on our hearts to tell other people about it. Lord, there's nothing wrong in this. Ready? Lord, I want souls to be saved, but I am scared half to death to do it. Lord, hey, I want souls to be saved, and I really don't know how to go about doing it. Oh, I can go down the Romans road. I can tell them about salvation. But Lord, I want souls to be saved. I don't want to just go down the Romans road. I don't want to just tell people about salvation. I want them to be saved for your honor and glory. I want to see them. I want to see you change their lives. You see the difference? And so we've got a great need. In the only church, really, that is important to us, not that other churches aren't important, but this one is important to us because this is the church that God has placed us in. Now, again, listen, I'm not saying other churches are dearly beloved as well that belong to the Lord Jesus Christ, and we can help them as we can, but listen, if this church is not strong in the Lord, we'll lose our strength. We won't have the strength that will be able to help others if we're not seeing the Lord work like he wants to work in our lives. And he wants to do that. So don't look at it as oh, I really should be doing better. No, Lord, I want you to work in my life. I want you to do this in my life for your honor and glory. I want to see you, don't we, working where souls are being saved, and that you would be pleased to use us. So he says, notice this again, verse 6, be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication. Again, remember, that's that Greek word, deesis, which means a need or a want. And then we notice it says here, let your request be made known unto God. And listen to this, the peace of God, this is important, and the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Now stop and think about this peace of God. Where does this, look at verse 9. No, keep that thought in mind. The peace of God, which, verse 7, passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Then look at verse 9. Those things which ye have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do, listen to this, and the God of peace shall be with you. The peace of God is the God of peace. That's where it comes from. The peace of God comes from the God of peace. So if we have the peace of God, we have the God of peace. Is the way the Lord wants us to walk. So again, verse 7, we'll back up a little bit here. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds, notice the vehicle, through Christ Jesus, the God of peace. Isn't that wonderful? God's, listen, I want that. I want that. In fact, let me tell you the truth. I need that. You know, God does not fill up our tank for the next year. God wants us to daily seek him. We need the Lord. And so we find here that God, it's God's will, really, that his children have the peace of God, which is really the God of peace. And then notice the fruit of the peace of God. Look at verse 8. Finally, brethren, whatsoever, this is what happens when we see the Lord working in our lives. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, you know, we don't have to think about these things. These things God will put in our heart if we have him. Whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are a good report, if there be any virtue and if there be any praise, think on these things. We will be thinking about those things if we're thinking about the Lord Jesus Christ, won't we? He is all these things. And we will have him. And he wants us to have him. He's given himself to us. Those things which you have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do, and the God of peace shall be with you. I need the God of peace with me, don't you? I want the God of peace to be with me. And he's promised if we will seek him. In fact, listen, I will ask God for that, but then when I'm asking God for that, I'm going to say, Lord, I need you with me. I don't want to go without you. I need you to be with me. The last thought, and that is godly contentment. So we saw stand fast in the Lord, things to think about. Stand fast in the Lord. The Lord is at hand. And then the last one is godly contentment. And this one we'll see really a confidence in God's supply, a confidence in God's strength, and a confidence in God's enabling ability to sacrifice, to give of ourselves. You know, that's not so easily done, to sacrifice. Right? We look at Abraham when he offered up Isaac. Do you think that was an easy thing to do? That required an important ingredient, faith, didn't it? That required trust in the Lord. By the way, listen, anything that we give to the Lord, he will bless. You believe that? Anything that we give of ourselves, it's not going to be a non-returnable thing. In other words, if God will reciprocate, if we sacrifice for him, He will give to us if we're doing it for him. And if we're doing it for him, we want to honor him more than anything else. And we can leave whatever it is that we're not making a deal with the Lord, right? Behind door number 1, 2, or 3. Remember that old show? Here it is. We're not making a deal with the Lord. Lord, I'm going to give of you and I'm going to trust you to give me what you think is best. So watch this. Look at verse 10. But I rejoice in the Lord greatly. And this is a Philippian, this is a prison epistle, is it not? And so Paul is writing this to the Philippian believers, and this is a prison epistle. But I rejoice in the Lord greatly. How can he do that? Well, I dare say he has the God of peace with him. Wouldn't you say? But I rejoice in the Lord greatly that now at the last, and look, your care of me hath flourished again, wherein ye were also careful, but ye lacked opportunity. And Paul said, not that I speak in respect of want. Do you think he's legitimate when he's saying that? Yeah, I'm not saying because I want something. For I have learned, get that one, Paul had to learn this. We do too. For I have learned in whatsoever state I am, therewith to be what? In whatever state I'm in, I want to be content in the Lord. I want to be content in the Lord. So while we're praying, Lord, I want you to be my peace. I want to be content. I want you to use me to lead people to you. I want to see you work through me. Because that's God's will. Didn't he say when the church receives power that the church would be witnesses? Right? Do you think God intended this? I want you to be witnesses with no results. So you'll have nobody to baptize, you'll have nobody to disciple, and nobody to go to heaven. Do you think that's what God's plan was? Or did he say, go ye therefore, right? Into all the world, into all the nations, that we might baptize them and disciple them for the and bring a great heavenly host by the grace of God through us. So that's God's will. We're not asking anything amiss. We're not asking anything that's wrong. We are calling upon the Lord to work through our lives. That's all we're doing. Lord, I want to see you work in my life and in the life of every believer at Northwood Baptist, all of your churches by all means, but specifically here at Northwood Baptist Church. What do you think? Listen, imagine this. Brother Wright brings somebody and he led them to the Lord during the week. Here's Fred, and he, you know, the Lord just, I don't know, I met him, and God just worked, and I told him about Jesus. He trusted the Lord. He wants to come and follow the Lord in scriptural baptism, right? And then Miss Peg or Miss Gerda says, you know, I spoke to somebody. I was just out. We got this conversation going, and they trusted the Lord. And here they are, and they want to come forward. And Julia says, you know, while I was out and about, I talked to this person, and everybody has a story like that. Won't we be going, praise God? Pray. That's what we're asking God. Use us all, Lord, that we might see souls saved by your hand. Because here's the truth, not a single one of us can do that. But God can, and get this, that's his will. We are asking God to perform his will, where? In us. I dare say, that's excitement. Hey, who is Paul talking to? People he got to lead to the Lord. And he is saying, man, I want you to know, I have learned, he is pouring out his heart by the Spirit of God for the benefit of these believers that God has used him to disciple. Do you know that God wants to use each and every one of us to be disciplers in the lives of those that he will bring to himself through us? We will have a connection like nobody else. If you lead somebody to the Lord, I promise you, they will be beholding to you. Do you remember the person that led you to the Lord? If somebody led you to the Lord, some people get led by the Word of God. I can't forget. Listen, I know people that will tell me they've never forgotten the person that told them about Jesus where they got saved. And so he's saying, listen, I want you to know I'm excited. And then I see you working and you lacked an opportunity. And I'm not talking about because I wanted something. You know what Paul was really thrilled about? That God was using them. And then he's telling them this. He says, verse 11, not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am, therewith to be content. Notice, I know both how to be abased, and I know how to abound everywhere and in all things. I am instructed both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and both to suffer need. Do you think Paul was bragging? Or do you think Paul was telling them a biblical, godly truth so that they could understand that what their life is going to be about as well? There will be times that you might be full. There will be times that you may not be full. But praise God, we can be content, knowing that God is at work in our lives. That's what God wants for us. And he says, I've learned how to do that. And then he says, because God put me there, verse 13, so that's a confidence in God's supply. Look at a confidence in God's strength. Verse 13, I can do all things through Christ Jesus, which strengtheneth me. And those are the kinds of things, how to suffer need and how to abound and not forget God. That's dangerous. Amen? When we got it so good, we could forget we need God. Notwithstanding, verse 14, ye have well done that ye did communicate with my affliction. So these believers were reaching out to help Paul. And he says, you did good. Remember he was telling them, I've learned how to do both. And God has strengthened me. And he says, and notwithstanding, because God has taught me how to do that there in verse 14, notwithstanding, ye have done well that ye did communicate with me with my affliction. In other words, they assisted him. Now ye Philippians, verse 15, know also that in the beginning of the gospel, when I departed from Macedonia, no church communicated with me as concerning giving and receiving, but ye only. So he's commending them. He says, you are the ones that stepped out and stepped up, and you helped me. I wonder if they felt like, this is the one that led us to Jesus. Amen? This is the one that gave of himself, yielded himself to be used of God to point us to him. I think they gladly helped him, don't you? So verse 16, for even in Thessalonica he sent once and again unto my necessity. And again he says, not because I desire a gift. Listen to the heart of Paul. But I desire fruit that may abound to your account. When they stand before Jesus. Remember what Jesus said? Listen. Remember, fruit to your account. If we abide in Christ, that's what they're doing. You will bear fruit. And you'll bear more fruit. And you'll bear much fruit to your account. Isn't that good? Last thought. A confidence in God's enabling ability to sacrifice. Notice what he says. But I have all and abound. And by the way, he was not wealthy. But look at his outlook. I have all and abound. I am full. People would say, oh no, he wasn't. In their eyes, but he really was full in the Lord. Having received of Epaphroditus the things which were sent from you, an odor, a sweet smell, a sacrifice, acceptable, well-pleasing to God. But my God shall supply all your need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. Did you get that? He was excited about having the riches that are given by the Lord. That's how Paul could see it. Even when he didn't have some basic essentials, he says, I am full in the Lord Jesus Christ. Maybe not in the world, but I am full in the Lord Jesus Christ. Here's a question. What do we want? The things of this world are passing away. I want to be full in the Lord Jesus Christ. I believe you do too. Especially when we stand before the Lord, may we do that on this side. And so, God supplies all of our needs. And then the last here, as we finish up here, again, let's look at verse 19. In fact, 18 and 19 will be done. But I have all and abound. I am full, having received of Epaphroditus the things which were sent from you, an odor, a sweet smell, a sacrifice, acceptable, well-pleasing to God. They were giving of themselves. And then he says, But my God, he wants to remind them, but my God shall supply. He's talking to them who just gave. You'll never outgive the Lord when it comes to the things that are of more value that are not monetary. But my God shall supply all your need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. We're going to end right here, but let me ask you this question. I just want to pose it as a thought like this. There may be some things that you want that are not bad. And I don't believe anybody here wants anything that's bad, but there might be some things that you'd like to see happen. But let me ask you a question. Don't we want to see God use us to bring people to salvation? Lord, show us how. I'm just sharing you the word of God. I need that. I'm not teaching you something. I'm receiving something God's giving to us. I'm in the same boat you're in. I'm not seeing souls saved. I want to see them saved. I have, if anyone has the greatest need for this, it's me. Believe it. It's me. I have the greatest, we all have this need, I believe. But I'm not saying, listen, we're all important, we're all equal in the eyes of God. But in my estimation, I need this. I need this, Lord. I need to see you work in my life, bringing people to you. Lord, guide my heart and mind to walk in your ways, that you might bless me in your path. Show me, God. And I'm convinced that if we all call upon the Lord to work in our lives, and what does that mean? My life and in the body of Christ here at Northwood Baptist Church. I want you to know, I tell you my method, and I know who's coming up next. I go through our directory, and several times a week I pray for all of our church members. Pray for all of them. Bless us, God. Fill us with your Spirit. Use us in a mighty way for your honor and glory, as you will, as is your plan, Lord. Use us. So tonight, you know what the Lord says? Think on these things. Good things, aren't they? Good things. And call upon the Lord, because he's promised to answer, has he not? He'll answer if we call upon him. And make our prayers and our supplications, our needs and our wants, known before the Lord. Lord, work like never before in your people. Would you stand? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we do come before your throne thanking you, Lord, for your mercy and your grace and your love for us. Boggles my mind, Lord, how you have seen fit to save us and set our feet upon a rock, Lord, the rock, the Lord Jesus Christ, unmovable, and that you've given to us eternal life. And then you desire to use us for your honor and glory. Show us, Lord. Put it in all of our hearts to call upon you to show us how you do that in all of our lives. Bless again, Lord, your people. Build your church here at Northwood Baptist Church, and we'll give you all the praise, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.